Missionary letter. Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, and it was called Niger, and Lucius, he goes on there, Cyrene, Manaen. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Lord, we thank you for your calling upon our missionaries to go into the field, even as Barnabas and Saul were called by your Spirit. We thank you for keeping them there. We thank you for helping us and keeping us faithful, helping us that we would be able to continue to support them and pray for them. And dear God, we do thank you very much for that. And I pray you'd work in our midst tonight also. Bless in the testimonies that are to follow. Just give grace to each speaker and to help us not to be too nervous. And a certain amount's a good thing. And Father, I just pray you just guide in that the church would be edified tonight as we give praise unto your holy name and just give witness and testimony of the things that you have done for us. And help us to be careful, thank you, and praise you. Be with my dear wife for the nursery as well. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to share one letter, and then we'll do some testimonies. And then if there's time left, I may share another letter. I wanted to mention this one. This is from Brother Sylvan in Curacao. And Brother Sylvan writes, dear fellow believers in Christ, here on the island of Curacao, there are three Baptist churches. In recent months, I have been approached by one of them that does not have a pastor or other person in a leadership role about the possibility of taking over the church. Without a person, there is the high likelihood that it can possibly close its doors with the few members going wherever they might want to go. After much prayer and advice, I accepted the possibility of them becoming a part of the ministry I currently have, which is Anchor of Hope Baptist Church. They have tentatively agreed to this with a final decision to be made in 2017, God willing. The reason for the delay has to do with the fact that this church had never been incorporated, and the property which they are currently meeting in has never been turned over to them legally because of that. The building is able to seat approximately 120 people and is paid for, with only a tax lien on it so far. At this moment, they are trying to resolve this problem with the government so it can be turned over to Anchor of Hope once they become part of the ministry. I do not know how much will be owed in taxes once everything is looked at. I'm told that the problem is mostly errors that have to be corrected, and once that correction is made, I will know exactly what the dollar amount that might need to be paid. I'm asking you to remember this in prayer, that the tax office here will begin looking at the tax situation so I can know what is needed to be done. This is what has held up the final decision to unite the two ministries into one so far. Excuse me. Also, I pray this body of believers of approximately 15 adults would adjust to the changes that will be taking place and that they can mature spiritually in faith and doctrine. Remember me likewise for wisdom and counsel concerning the decisions that are before me. I will certainly need some legal counsel and help that everything will be in order. This will be a new direction for as I will be bringing messages and lessons to help the members in their spiritual walk. Isn't that exciting? Especially just regarding the prayer request I just threw out there the other week, just to begin praying for that. Who knows what God can do. So we'll pray for Brother Bernard. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Brother Bernard. He served you faithfully there in Curacao all these years. And now, dear God, as no human mind can figure out, once again, you have worked in a miraculous way, and you've opened up a way even for Brother Bernard, who's been so faithful there, to perhaps have a building to work out of and teach classes in. And dear God, what a wonderful God you are, and we praise your holy name. And so, Father, we do pray for your help. Dear God, we know how long sometimes things can take when it has to go through the wheels of government and the taxes and those type of things. It can be drawn out, and we pray that you would help it to go quickly and give him wisdom in what you would have him to do. If there's something that he needs to see, show him, God. If for some reason this is not your will for him, might you also show him that and guide him in that. We do pray for these new believers also, or for these believers in this church, that they will adjust. It's difficult. Many times we know when ministries change hands, even from a Bible believing ministry to another Bible believing ministry, some people have come accustomed to following personalities, even as we've learned about in 1 Corinthians in our morning adult Sunday school hour. And dear God, I pray that that would not be the case. I pray that people would want to follow you. Certainly a time when a church has to close its doors is a time of soberness. It should be a time of self-examination. It should be a time when these believers would recognize and realize and resolve that they want to follow Jesus, that they want to learn the Scriptures. And I pray that you'd work that out and work there in a mighty way, and that we would hear good news developing quickly there. And so, Father, we just pray. You be with them, help them, give them wisdom and strength. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, and just for one moment, look at Psalm 107. Can't turn pages up here. Psalm 107. I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to let the redeemed of the Lord say so, how good the Lord has been to us. So I've put out there that you can give testimony of your salvation and maybe of the blessing of paying tithe and such, and how God has provided some specific need, or perhaps in general, whatever God has laid on your heart regarding those two issues, salvation or just God's faithfulness and keeping his promise as we give, as he has directed. Okay, so we'll put that out there for you. I'll tell this group here, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. And wife and I were talking about this. I'll let you know probably what I'll do within the next few weeks is we'll go through the testimonies tonight, those that want to give testimonies and that we have time for, and you're all, I hope, all certainly are welcome. It'd be a wonderful thing. But I'm probably going to ask some from among, as the weeks go on, to give a testimony, perhaps one on a Sunday morning. You'll be giving it again, the same as you gave it here, because there are some folks in the Sunday morning crowd that need that encouragement. That need that exhortation, and you will have gone through it once, and like me, you'll say, "Oh man, why didn't I say that?" You know, I often do that in a sermon. I preach it once, and it's like I read it later. It's like, "How did I miss that, man? That was right down the line." You know, how did I miss that? That verse applies there, and so you have already gone through it once and been able to think about it. So when I ask you again on a Sunday morning, you'll be a little bit more polished on it, you know, a little bit more. You prayed about it, and maybe God's shown you some things, but it won't be hurtful to having gone through it once before you do it on Sunday morning. That's for sure. So with that, I want to ask for a volunteer. Who wants to start us out? Anybody? Brother Charles, okay? And so after him, then we'll take a lady. We'll let Brother Charles start us out first. Everybody who get the testimony must talk into this mic, okay? So that wifey can get the message there as well. She doesn't want to miss that, all right? So what have you, just come up here. You can stand behind the pulpit or up here, wherever you want, and just give us what God's laid on your heart. I'll get my stuff out of your way here, brother. Amen.
All right. All right. So I'll start off from the very close to the beginning, but I'll go through it fast. My family is not saved. None of them are. I had friends of the neighborhood that I hung out with that took me to different Christian groups. One of them was called Royal Rangers. It was like a Boy Scouts, but it was Christian. So I spent about 2 years in that and stuff, but I did not get saved at that time either. It was a good news type thing, New Life Center type stuff. But it was fun. I enjoyed it, spent time with them. They were nice people, stuff like that. That's about all I got out of that at that time. Next, I went to catechism for a little while with the family also. Didn't get saved then either. I knew about Jesus. I knew about it, studied and everything else, but it was totally different than what I learned and what I knew. You know, I thought you can do bad things and get saved again and over and over. It was like the same thing over and over. And that's what I learned then at that time, Catholics. Totally different than what I'm used to now. As I went on, I got married the first time, and my wife took me to a Lutheran church, which is basically Catholic also, just a little bit lighter side, or even worse. So that, I didn't learn too much from that either. We'd go in to the church. I loved the preaching. It was pretty good at the time. I didn't get all of it sometimes, and then right after, the pastor would be outside drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette. So I didn't know. I was totally confused then. I thought that's the way life was. I didn't know anything at that time. So as I went along, my Uncle Butch was going to Harvest Baptist Church, and that's who invited me to go one time. He says, you need to go to potluck. That's how he got me going the first time. He knew right where to hit me to make it work, and so I went. And I was been going there for 12, 13 years after that. I enjoyed the preaching there. I learned a lot and got saved right away. Thank you for Pastor Smith that was there at the time, and Pastor Lemus as well. And that's when I got saved then, and it was a blessing at that time. But at that time, like I said, I was going to that church for 12 years, and probably the last 5 of that years is the only time I tithed, and I sporadically tithed at that time. I knew through the first part of those years that I probably should have, but I struggled because I was on my own, I was divorced, I was paying child support for 4 kids from 2 different women at the time because I was totally lost before that. And so I was paying for the consequences of my life and at the time and dealing with my kids and trying to be there for them as well. And my youngest daughter, I just finished paying this year. So just finally the child support finally stopped. And I've been dealing with that and still doing it. But the last 5 years there at Harvest, I did start paying some tithing. As I moved over to here, I decided I was going to make that call, and that's what we've been doing since me and Lynn started coming here. We're going to tithe continually, no matter what, and we've been doing it ever since. And the blessings that the Lord has showed me, I'm telling you, is totally different. Still paying child support at that time, and before I was not eating some nights because I didn't have any money. It got so bad. But that doing it now, I don't know what's going on. Child support stopped this year. It started back up this month. We don't know why yet. We're still trying to figure it out. It was supposed to end, and now it's starting back up again. I don't know if it's just going to be for 1 month to catch up or catch up for whatever they're dealing with. They didn't really say. But if my daughter's going to college and that's why they're doing it, I'm glad to do it again. I'll keep paying child support if she continues on to college. So, but if that happens, I know the Lord's going to take care of it now. And we were a little upset, but then we know we've been tithing. We know we've been doing what we're supposed to do, and we're in church. Are praying all the time, praying for my daughters, still can talking to them. They know we go to church. They know where we stand. So it's been a blessing to be a witness there as well, to continue on tithing and knowing the Lord's going to take care of this no matter what happens, even if we have to pay child support for another 10 years, 5 years, 6 years, 4 years, whatever she's going to do. So it's a blessing, and I thank the Lord for it.
Amen. That's good. All right. That's challenging, isn't it? Praise the Lord. What a blessing. All right. I appreciate that testimony. All right. Now, we have a lady. Not all the hands at once. Come on. I can't. We'll put names in a hat and draw. Okay. We have.
Do we have to go up there?
You can stand over here.
No, I mean.
Yeah, stand over here so we can all see you.
Gonna hide behind here, okay?
Don't beat the pulpit like that.
Okay, this is gonna be short and sweet, and this is just about tithing. I was very fortunate to be under a really good preaching from the moment I got saved, which was back in 1990, and I learned about tithing right away, and I wanted to fully follow the Lord. I wanted to trust Him right away. So I did that, exactly that. I tithed my 10%, no more, no less, but my 10%. And as my faith increased, of course, so did my giving and my missions and everything else. But I can honestly say that I have never gone without. Yeah, there's been hard times sometimes. Of course, we all go through hard times. Things happen. But I praise the Lord that I've never gone without a meal. I've never gone without the rent paid or the mortgage paid, or always had a car that runs, washer and dryers at work, and you know, kids cared for. So I just praise the Lord for His faithfulness, and we can trust His promises. If we put Him first, He will provide our needs, like Pastor preached this morning.
Amen. That's good. What a blessing. Yes. All right. Brother Austin, come on.
Can't be last. Thanks for raising hands.
Okay. All right. This won't be too long. Had to write a few notes. Don't let the big Bible scare you. No. I'd take a few notes. I was talking at the base the other day to a group of new people. They wanted me to say something for a little bit, and had no notes, and I think they were so confused when I was done, it was not good. It was just a few minutes of impromptu, so I'll try and do a little more focus this time. Anyway, most of you know I grew up in a Christian home, and very thankful for that, and went to Sunday school when I was a kid. I see the kids around here, and I can relate to a lot of that. And I went to Patch the Pirate Club, and still have my book and all that. Don't know why I saved some of it, but anyway, I learned a lot about God. I learned the stories of the Bible and all that, and at that point, they were just more or less stories in my life. I knew them intellectually, but they hadn't really taken root. And we moved to Montana when I was about 8, something like that. So we started going to a different church then, and we went there regularly, and then it was about when I was 15 or 16, I started to actually have a real knowledge of what sin was. And my parents had told me that I'd made a profession of faith when I was very young, but it didn't mean anything to me at that point. You know, it was something that I'd heard about, but it wasn't personal by any means. But as I became aware of this, slowly I became realizing that I was guilty before God. And it's like I'd think, well, you know, I would compare myself to people. I'd be like, "Oh, I know so-and-so at church, and he calls himself a Christian. I'm better than he is." But I knew I was only deceiving myself. And I remember as the pastor, I remember very clearly he was going through a lesson in the book of Hebrews, talking about the old covenant and how Jesus was our sacrifice in the new covenant. And it finally made sense to me how we could look at, you know, the Old Testament, the lambs being sacrificed, and in the New Testament, Jesus had taken that punishment that was due to us, and he had stepped in our place and taken that. And I remember as one time at home, and I was talking to my mom about that, and I said, you know, this was weighing on me. I said, I know I'm not ready to meet God as my judge. And she said, she's like, well, you know the gospel. You've heard it before. You know you need to call out to the Lord and repentance and ask for forgiveness. And I did that, and it was with complete abandon. I didn't care what I lost. I had to have that peace with God at that point. And I certainly got it. He gave it to me, and I lost that fear of, you know, dying in your sleep or something. You'd wake up and you'd be facing God as your judge. And I had that peace that came after that. And as I'm sure other people have said tonight too, your faith grows over time. And I began to grow more as I started to work around other people that weren't family or people I went to church with. And I, you know, Brother Charles here, I know, can relate to that. Your faith becomes challenged when you're with people who aren't Christians. And through that time, I found that my faith was not just a religious experience. It was the real thing. And I found that this is very much a defensible faith. And my faith grew through those trials of, you know, there's some mocking and things that go on when you're the oddball in the group. But thankful to God's faithfulness to me through the years, and just kind of a borrowed quote that I really like is, as a Christian, I'm not better than anyone else, but infinitely better off. I'd certainly think that that's my my only hope is in Christ. So that's all I've got.
All right. Ladies' turn.
I didn't even know we were having testimony.
Oh, that's hard. Andy, you want to get a take?
So I'm going to stand this way so I can see everybody instead of the mic. I was raised in a Christian home, and I'm so thankful for that. Hearing the gospel at an early age and not having to have a lot of, I don't know, regrets, I guess, from the way choices I made. So when I was about six when I talked to my mom, and she was able to lead me to the Lord. I realized my need of a Savior, and you know, growing up in a Christian home, you're like, but there wasn't like such a big change, right? It's not like I've, you know, gone out and robbed banks or killed anybody or anything like that. But I can look back and see changes in my life, and even at that young age, the Lord was working in my heart and helping me to be obedient to my parents, even when I didn't want to be, or having a right attitude, even when I didn't want to. And learning those lessons, and probably one of the big things for me was I was very shy. I didn't like being in front of people, and I was very scared of water. And so, the Lord had to take a while for me to get to the point where I was willing to be baptized, because that meant facing two of my biggest fears. But that was one of the things that I can look back on and have some assurance, because I know that I would never have gone ahead with that if the Lord had not truly been my Savior. And just have enjoyed the years since being able to serve the Lord, and you know, learned how to give at an early age. And it never ceases to amaze me how I can look back at the end of the year and the numbers just don't add up. there's more there than came in.
Yes.
And yet, you know, all the needs are met. I had plenty to give. I've never wanted. And so God truly is faithful.
Amen.
So I think a lot of you guys know my story too. I guess I could say I also grew up in a Christian home, but in some senses you wouldn't know that. My parents were both saved before I was born. I even got to see later on when my parents joined the Baptist church that my mom was baptized. It was maybe six or seven at the time when I noticed that. And that kind of stuck with me. It's like, ah, I want to get baptized. I had no idea what that meant. I had the same kind of experience as Austin too, of going to church and going to Sunday school. I could tell you all the Bible stories in the Bible, but was I saved? No. I didn't have a concept of what my sin meant. I had a concept of sin, just not what that was to a holy God. I didn't understand how bad I was. I took a bit longer than Brother Austin did to become a Christian. It was probably another 13 years more. And just to see the delineation, if you think back in your mind's eye, at least if I do, if my life of that period backwards and that period forwards, there is no comparison. It's been amazing. God's blessed greatly. And on the tithing front too, shortly after I was saved, and my wife Stephanie was saved as well, nearly the same time, we moved here to Oregon and started school, and it was quite the scary thing to do if you didn't have somebody on your side, if you didn't have the Lord on your side. We stepped away from well-paying jobs to an unknown future of graduate school. And during that time, we were able to begin tithing. We had come to this church, and we had understood the importance of tithing, reading your Bible, praying, going to church, all of the things that are preached every Sunday here, and growing up in the Lord here in this church. And being able to tithe, being able to, on a grad school salary with kids eventually, be able to tithe and continue with that and always have and never go without. It was such a blessing. And even looking forward after school and how God's blessed us greatly, just being able to continue that, to continually increase the amount that we give to the Lord, and that God continues to multiply that, and it's amazing. We look forward to seeing what God will do in the future too.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Brother Dennis.
Got to adjust things back there.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay.
Well, I know teaching Sunday school, I kind of give some of my testimony as I go through. And my wife and I are fortunate. We grew up together. And I know that God always has a plan. He did before the foundation of the earth. You know, my wife and I met in second grade. She was in the second grade. We grew up in the same neighborhood. She left and moved up to Washington when I was in the eighth grade and came back my junior year. That was the year I proposed to her. But all through that time, I didn't go to church, but periodically my family was Methodist. So, you know, if you went to church, yeah, you went to church. But it wasn't until we got in the service and talking with Lynn this morning about, you know, teasing her about a couple of Facebook posts. And it was interesting that the one post happened to be a picture of her in 1975. Well, I got to looking back on in the spring of 1974 is when my wife and I both got saved. I was in Guam. She was in Hawaii. Some major incidents occurred that let us realize that the people that have been witnessing to us, we realized that we needed Christ as our Savior. I'd realized that if I went out into eternity, I was going to go to hell, pure and simple. And in a real short sense, our submarine was lost for 8 hours. We had lost radio communications. We'd actually been reported to Subpac as a lost submarine. We happened to be operating right over the Marianas Trench. So when you go down there, it's 7.5 miles down. My wife, just prior to that, or around that time, had just had, behind where we were living in Pearl City, was a major, the fleet's freezer unit for all the frozen goods. That building actually caught fire. It was an ammonium plant, and it was about 100 feet behind our house. She was found wandering the neighborhood with our daughter and our son, just kind of in a daze. But she'd been being witnessed to, and one of the ladies on the boat took her in, and her husband was on the boat with me. He'd been witnessing. And so we both got saved. Now, did we instantly become the greatest thing in the world? No, we were in a Southern Baptist church. My wife got baptized shortly afterward. It took me about 2 years to figure out that I needed to be baptized, because remember, I was raised as a Methodist. I got sprinkled. I was already baptized. Sadly, the churches that we were attending at that time did not really teach you a lot of things. It wasn't until I went to a Bible Baptist church in Vallejo that Pastor Bowen explained baptism to the point where it was like, duh, I got to follow in this. And so I got baptized, you know, in 1976. My wife and I have grown since then. Pastor Bowen's favorite saying was, you know, you may not work very hard here or be part of it. He says, but you'll go on and you'll be a worker. And when we left that church, we prayed, went to a sister church over in Stockton, California for 3 years, and it was in the process of building, but we prayed that God would put us on the ground floor of a church, you know, starting out. We didn't realize that that's literally what he was doing, because when we went to Connecticut, we helped build a church literally from a warehouse over a 4-year period of time. And we got to see what God can do. We had tried 3 or 4 times to move into a building, and something stopped us every time. Something with the city, and of course back there in Connecticut you have townships, and you know, the government grows out from there. And the township that we were in was Uncasville, and we'd found a piece of property that was right next to the city park. Well, Pastor Bickle was a very dogmatic man. He was not going to ever take on a mortgage, pure and simple. And 12 years after they started, they accumulated the funds necessary to buy a piece of property and went in. When he went to actually close on the property, they were some $4,000 or $5,000 short. Guess you can follow in, there was a check in the mail for that amount. When he went down and closed, they actually gave him money back. Went to the city. We got to see God's hand in so many things, more than I'd ever seen in the previous years. And we're talking about 1981. So we'd been saved for, you know, a short amount of time. And we understood about giving, so we gave, you know, what we thought was right. But as we went through, we got to see that God always provided for that church. And if you ever want to see something interesting, go to cornerstonebaptistchurch.org, and you'll see this beautiful white L-shaped building that was once, when we moved in there, it was a, it was a warehouse, and it was just filled with things. When I left in 1989 to go to Norfolk and get ready to retire, they'd only had half the building completed. The city was wonderful with them, says, if you're not going to use it, just board it up. That's how much the city wanted them in there. There's now a parsonage on that property. The man that took over for it is now celebrating almost 30 years being there. Pastor Mike Jones, he took over for Pastor Bickle when he realized, I'm a church planter, I'm supposed to go plant churches. I got to see God's hand in so many things that way. And it encouraged me that when I retired and came back here, you know, I left left a nice, well-paying job in the military and retired and went to exactly a third of my pay and wondered, how am I going to do things? Well, and 4 or 5 churches later, God has always blessed, always took care of us, always gave me a good job in an area where there was a good church, able to give each year more and more and more. And now that I'm retired, sort of, God still has made sure that I have more. And no matter what you do, you can't outgive God. I don't care what anybody says. And I'm been given the privilege to help take care of the church's books. And I have to be blind now to a lot of things. And a person can get very judgmental in some areas. But, you know, I thank the Lord that I'm thrown into a position now where I look and I could make judgments, you know. But I'm thankful that I'm blind when I see things. You know, and God is so wonderful that, you know, 40-some years later, you know, yeah, I may not be like Dr. Ironsides or, you know, Pastor Crawford knowing things. But God has never failed me. He's always been there. And I've seen where, over the years, that I've been challenged I was actually brought back to very similar situations under the conditions that I was saved when I was in the service. And I believe it was God's testing to say, you really know me, don't you? You know, because there's times when you walk with God, and there's times when you kind of slip a little bit, and God brings you back up there. Sometimes he needs to remind you, makes us humble. And it's amazing. And your son can probably tell you all sorts of stories about what he's going to go through, because I know exactly what he's going through and where he's at. And that's the sad part of knowing that God puts people in certain positions for certain reasons and makes you humble. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life, what he's planning on doing, and seeing that. Because a little church with, you know, a few people starting out in Connecticut, they walked in with cash in hand and handed it down. And they built, over 4 years, a church that is actually probably running 150 to 200 people out in the middle of Connecticut, seeing this building completed. Yeah, it took them 10 or 15 years to completely finish that building. But I actually had to laugh, because it took 20 years for them to replace the furnace that I built in the building, and it was used then. But God never fails us. And if I could relay that to anybody, that I don't care what we do in life, God has a plan for us. He knows exactly what we need, and he knows what he needs for me, and it's more study. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for this church and for the opportunity to be part of that church. And when we came here, you know, we were over at Harvest, and I was at Riverside before that. We were at Open Door up in Portland. And each one of those churches, there was a ministry there for us. And that's what I love about this church. It's small, so everybody here has a ministry. And it's a joy to be part of that, to be part of the, well, the Sunday school lessons, part of the team. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord, that's good. Well, that brings us, I think, right up to about closing time, so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those testimonies. And those of you, maybe Stephanie and my wife, you'll get a chance here later on to give their testimony in the services, and we'll look forward to that as well. And I'm thankful for that. Michael, good to see you here tonight. We're glad you're here. And amen. All righty, Brother Charles, would you come up and close us with a song, Sister Trent? Amen.